Good morning, friends on Guam. My name is Reverend Henry DeVries, and I bring the Word of God to you today, as I do with these video presentations. And I thank you for being able to minister to you this way. I thank the Lord for the opportunity as well. The passage for today is John 14, verse 15 through 27, the peace that Jesus gives. I'll read the passage beginning at verse 15. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and that you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus replied, If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Here's the passage for today, especially the text. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled, and do not be afraid. The theme of this passage is Jesus promising peace to the disciples, and we're included, of course, so we can experience this peace through our Christian service and discipleship. Remember that, through our Christian service and discipleship. So our goal for this sermon is that we will have the peace of Jesus and give it to others. When I was a teenager and just graduated from high school, I didn't know what I was going to do with my life. I struggled with peace, and I was just wondering what I was going to do. Somewhere I heard this text, verse 27, and even though I didn't know where it was located, I repeated these words to myself over and over, My peace I give to you. My peace I give to you. My peace I give to you. Over and over as I paced back and forth in the living room. Nobody else was home, I would have stopped. I didn't want to get caught. It would be too embarrassing. But I'm not embarrassed to tell you this. You might have the same problem with peace in your heart, but maybe not. I might have peace just because I'm old. Does peace come with old age? I had a good friend, Dave Allen. Some of you might remember him. He's now with the Lord after a troubled life at first, but then he found peace in the Lord and became a very successful prison chaplain here on Guam. He had peace. How could I tell? He didn't care what people thought of his appearance. He would walk around his apartment in unfitting clothing when I was there, and he didn't care one bit what I thought. He had a great big stomach, but he didn't care. He walked around with slip-on shoes and no socks. He didn't care. You could see that as we watched him walk in Harvest Baptist Church to the front to give the opening prayer. We were guests there one Sunday evening. We laughed and nudged each other. Look at that. Dave is walking to the front to give the opening prayer in this formal church. Everybody seems kind of holding their breath, but he doesn't care. Dave was at peace. He knew this passage since he used it to guide the lives of troubled prisoners. But he lived this passage out. He was at peace. Are you at peace? Maybe we're just because we're old. This is the peace of resignation or fatalism. This is the peace of the world. We say, oh well, who cares anyway? I may as well just give up trying to look good. It's not just old people who have that problem. Many younger people imagine their lives the same way. Or if you're from a minority group, or if you're from a poverty lifestyle, I grew up very, very poor. And I just kind of had that temptation. The temptation is just to give up. People are going to look down on me and dismiss me anyway. So I try. Are you like that? But that's not the peace that Jesus gives. That's the peace of resignation, of fatalism, of the world. That's the peace of giving up. One of the most peaceful places in our world is a cemetery. But that's not a healthy peace. That's the peace of failure, of resignation, of giving up, of death. God's peace is shalom, a healthy, prosperous harmony where everything works right and we all get along. We need each other to have that kind of peace. There was an apologist, Michael Ramsden, and he spoke of a colleague who was in Asia, and he asked his audience to close their eyes and imagine peace. After a few seconds, the audience was invited to share their mental pictures of peace. So one person described a field of flowers and beautiful trees. Another person spoke of snow-capped mountains and an incredible alpine landscape. Still another described the scene of a beautiful still lake. What about you? Let's do that right now. Imagine peace. What does it look like? Could you describe it to your neighbor? Do that right now. I'll wait a minute. So what were your mental pictures of peace? I'd love to hear some, but I can't by way of this video. Anyway, here is what this minister came up with when he asked the people there in that audience. After everyone described their mental picture of peace, there was one thing common in them all. There were no people in them. He commented, "Isn't that interesting? When asked to imagine peace, the first thing we do is eliminate everybody else." Oh, you see, peace is an absence of people. Is that the only way we can have peace, is to stay in our room and hunker down? Maybe a family member will disturb our peace to ask how we're doing. Maybe there'll be a bully at school or even a friend who will disturb your daydreaming about walking in a beautiful, peaceful place on the beach in Guam. There is no harmony without others to harmonize with. Did you ever imagine that this is why God is a Trinity? Without others, there is no love. And remember that God is love. So the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, why, they work together. They're at peace. They harmonize. They're pure harmony. They're pure love. If you are not at peace, can I give it to you now? Faith Church might have a life of its own. I hope your life here is comfortable for you, because if not, you're not at peace. I've known church participants who would share their troubled hearts and tell me that the Lord could not love them. Their church didn't have any peace, and they had no peace because of that. I had an aunt who shared with me when I was in seminary that she felt she could never be saved, and so she would end up in hell. How can you be at peace here? I told her that since she was so worried about that, it was evident that the Holy Spirit was working in her, and that it was because God loved her. I'm not sure if she ever took that to heart. Sometimes we need to just repeat that again and again, again and again. Jeff or Kim or another leader at Faith Church can surely bring peace using the Bible and a listening ear and a heart. That's why they're here. The scripture passage today can give you peace. Try repeating it over and over like I did when I was a troubled teenager. It's like a mantra, a saying you just repeat again and again. Remember the words of the songs you've already sung today. What do those words do for you? Notice how many times we repeat the words of hymns. The words in hymns. Our hymns and scripture meditations are wonderful sources of peace for our hearts. If you notice, the Gospel and letters of John have so many repetitions. John's writings would not get a good grade from your high school English teacher. His style is far too repetitious. But why? To bring the message home into our hearts. How does that work? Just do it, and you'll experience it. Peace in the world around us is our second point in this sermon. So we may be living in our bubble. Faith Church may have a life of its own. Many churches do. Those churches and their activities are like refuges, hiding places, islands of peace in your troubled world of anxious life. I hope your life here is comfortable because of, if not, you're not at peace. Have you settled into membership and the rest of the world can go its own way? That's not what Jesus wants. Of course, we may not be able to be concerned about much else if we're limited and under trouble. If so, well, of course, Jesus does not expect us to be concerned. But if we can hear about it and bring it to Jesus in prayer, then we're going out of our bubble. Outside, the world is seething with trouble, anger, and fighting. At the time of this writing, in late February, I was reading the news on the computer from the USA Today, and there were protests in Minneapolis. An African-American man was shot by police, and a person was killed and multiple injured in Blacksburg, Virginia, a shooting there. Police say this was the second high-profile shooting this week in Virginia. It was last week, by the way. And remember, the U.S. warned of a grim toll. Putin is pursuing a full invasion of Ukraine. So Biden administration officials told lawmakers that a Russian invasion could kill as many as 50,000 Ukrainian civilians and prompt a refugee crisis. Well, as I was watching the news, I know already there's a refugee crisis going on. I don't know about the killing of 50,000 people. I sure hope not. But just imagine, war on the continent of Europe. War between one country and another. One country trying to take over another. Wow, where's peace? Shall I go on? The newspaper is so depressing. The news watch, when we want to hear about it, when we want to hear the news, it can be so depressing. We just don't even want to watch. Just let us live our days in peace and harmony. But Jesus says we need to bring peace, not just want it for ourselves. I retreat into sports, like the Winter Olympics. They were fun to watch, weren't they? Technology and other pursuits that more or less avoid the troubles of our world. But our Lord expects me to get out of my bubble and have concern for the world around. The news becomes our prayer requests. Have you ever thought about that? We have a very long list. We could keep praying for weeks if we just turned the news reports into prayer requests. Back a long time ago, about 150 years ago, there was a man by the name of Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. And he wrote a carol that we sing sometimes today. I know it's a Christmas carol, and we don't sing that this time of the year, but it's wonderful to hear the story about this carol. I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. It's a poem. It was later set to music. And it was written over the Christmas of either 1863 or 1864, in the middle of the Civil War in America, the bloodiest war in American history. So the carol's first verse is familiar and peaceful. I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play. In music sweet, the tones repeat, there's peace on earth, goodwill to men. But the carol is not cotton candy. It's a beating heart laid bare. It's a carol that still rings true today. By the third stanza, we sing, and in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Longfellow wrote this to his friend Henry Ingersoll Bowditch in 1866. The death of the young men in the war, he says, makes my heart bleed whenever I think of it. How much have I felt for you, particularly on that cold December night when I came back with my son and I saw you at the station and knew that yours would not come back to you anymore. This is the landscape in which Longfellow wrote Christmas Bells. We aren't currently entrenched in a literal civil war, but the cracks in our country's foundations are splitting wider. People with power abuse it. People without it suffer. Day after day, the news cycles through horrors. Many days, it feels a little bit like the end of the world, like an apocalypse. But then Longfellow brings the gospel to bear in the final triumphant stanza. Then peal the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men. Are you despairing? Remember that God is bringing his kingdom to us. The last thing we see in the Bible is an image of a new heaven and a new earth, with no more death or mourning or crying or pain. Read Revelations 20 and 21, and just imagine the new heavens and the new earth. Giving the peace is another thing that we can do, being peacemakers. How can we bring peace to our life here at Faith? Well, of course, we pray. We pray for peace in our church and the church in general, because churches, so many churches are troubled. So many churches have fighting going within them, and people are just agonized over that. How many people haven't left the church because they couldn't get along with somebody else, or they watched other people fight with each other, and they were sick of it and left? So pray for peace in a church in general. Even if there's peace in Faith Church, wonderful, thank God for that. But pray for peace in church in general. Pray for peace in our nation. We need it so badly. Pray for peace in our world. Well, just think about this. The Winter Olympics are just over as I write this, and they were supposed to bring peace to our world. Are they? We hear about the hassle surrounding Kamila Valieva. Remember her? She's that figure skater, that 15-year-old figure skater. The young girl, 15 years old, and she's world famous. But where is the peace there with the accusations that were arguments that were going on around her? And she was crying because of that. We can make our efforts to bring peace into the open. So what are we ashamed of? If we're older people, like my friend Dave, who cares what others think? I could say something like this. I want to let you know that I value peace and harmony so we get along beautifully and happily. There. I've said it, and I'll say it again and again if necessary. And all you younger people in the congregation today, you can say that also. Just say it to someone who wants to argue or make a hassle out of something. Just say something like this. I want to let you know that I value peace and harmony so we will get along beautifully and happily. Okay? Is that okay? We can ask our pastors and council members, is there peace and harmony in Faith Church? Maybe I don't attend service anymore because I'm here quarantined or working today, but I pray for harmony, and I'm going to let you know, all of you in the Church of Faith Church, that I want that for our church. Here's another thing you can do. Write a note. If that's difficult for you, have a church member write it for you, or Jeff or Kim or Hilaria. You're not alone in this. We are together working for peace in the church. Maybe you prefer writing an inspirational card. Check out Faith Bookstore. They carry many such inspirations you can share with someone. This is a little part of the worship service in churches that have a more liturgical nature. So this is called Passing of the Peace. Passing of the Peace. Have you ever been to a church that does that? So let's try this right now. Pass the peace by turning to your neighbor and saying, "The peace of the Lord be with you," and receive the words in turn, "and also with you." The passing of the peace is an ancient and significant gesture in worship. Passing the peace is a tradition rooted in Scripture that embodies our identity as peacemakers and trains our hearts, hands, and tongues in the ways of peace. From the beginning, Christians have exercised this practice. Peace be with you. It's a greeting Jesus himself used for his disciples in Luke 24 when he showed himself to the disciples as they were scared in the upper room. And he came through the walls of the door, which were locked, and there he was, and they were scared. And he said, "Peace be with you." The Apostle Paul opened each of his letters with the words, "Grace and peace be with you." Romans 1 verse 7, look at that. Some people argue that the mere repetition means it does not come from the heart. But we sing songs again and again. Why? Because they're stuck in our hearts. They help us. Just remember the words of some classic hymns. This is a hymn that comes to us again and again, especially at times of trouble like funerals. "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul." And the refrain, "It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul." Just sing that song. Does this give you peace? I hope and pray so. The author of this song was on a trip across the Atlantic Ocean on a steamer back in those days in the 1800s. And he passed over the spot where his wife and three daughters drowned years before. He passed right over the same spot. And that's when he wrote this. Think of a troubled heart like that. His wife and three daughters drowned. And that's the song that he wrote. Wow. So repetition is what teaches our children to say, thank you, you're welcome. You say that now. Say thank you. Say you're welcome. After a while, it becomes automatic. And we're impressed, and we say they're well-mannered children. The greeting that I give at the beginning of nearly every service is, grace to you and peace. And I'm honored to speak on behalf of God Himself when I say the greeting, grace to you and peace. And then I follow up by making the point that this is from the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I do that every time. Repeat, repeat, repeat. Notice, grace and peace to you. Maybe when we meet somebody in the foyer or sometime during the week, we can greet them with these words, hi, peace to you. Try it. Being peacemakers is a blessed thing for us to do. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. It's Beatitude number 7 in Matthew 5, verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. And in Judges, the book that is so full of warfare and fighting and killing, Deborah in Judges 14, verse 31, it says that under her leadership, the land had peace for 40 years. Wow, a woman judge in the Old Testament did this. If we vote, do we vote for the one that will bring peace to our nation or our community? Well, there are so many candidates for all these positions, but do we ever ask them, will you bring peace? I'll vote for you if you bring peace. The conclusion is this. What is the definition of love? It is the quality of a relationship that God defines, not what we think is right, but what God tells us is right. That brings the peace of God, the harmony, the shalom of people getting along with God, with each other, and with the world around us. Then we don't need to go off somewhere by ourselves and have peace. We don't need beautiful scenery and settings to sit in all day by ourselves. We need each other in joyful fellowship. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, our Father, Christ our brother, and Holy Spirit, our inspirer, we hunger and thirst for the peace that only you can give. You as three persons in one are peace personified. We look to you and ask for peace in our hearts, in our lives, in our relationships. And beyond ourselves, we look for peace in our world. Give our whole world the hunger and thirst for peace so that your kingdom will truly come. We pray this humbly in the name and for the sake of the reputation of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.